man, I've been hollering and talking about wore out on y'all. That's what happens when you get sick. Amen. But I'm doing better. Still ain't there yet. Thank you, Miss Karen. Appreciate it. And but anyway, that song was called Pearly White City. And that's a great old song, man. That goes way back. Let's go to God's Word this morning. Are y'all all right or not? Say, if I can preach, you can listen. Got it or not? And this isn't a dud. I try not to throw duds around here. I throw out when we preach, we try to get something across. Amen? David, how are you doing, buddy? Appreciate you. Sarasota, appreciate you driving all that way, buddy, and coming. I was thinking of you this week. Just want you to know I appreciate it. That's a long way up and down that interstate. Yeah, thank you, buddy. Listens to our radio show and stuff, too. But thank you for you that come. I know some of you don't live right next to this place, including me. It takes me 15 minutes to get here. Amen. So, but anyway, just no big deal. Thank God. Amen. Let's go to God's Word. Little series in the next few weeks on why. Why? And I'll ask some questions. We're going to start off with this one. Why are we here? Say that out loud with me. Why are we what? Here. Man, I mean, you're all right, but I got to have a little more help. Why are we what?
Here.
I like that. Right there. Right there. Jake, how you doing? Now, Jake, you heard me speak at a funeral in Ohio, but you've never heard, have you ever been here to hear me preach? Time of your life is now. I'm telling you, Jake, get ready, man, get ready. But no, I was so glad to be with y'all. It was a sad time in the losing of your aunt in a violent way, but I was glad I could go there and be with you guys and your brother and then your mom and your family, all of you. But today, why are you here and why am I here? Okay, we're going to go to the Bible, and we're just going to answer that question from a certain perspective. Let's go with it. As believers in Jesus Christ, what is our purpose? Why does Fellowship Church exist? Why are we doing our kids' wing? I mean, what is this all about? And honestly, I grew up as a hellraiser. I didn't go to church. I mean, none of this would have made any sense to me. You know what I mean? And But I became a believer in Christ. I was about 16 years old. My drunk mother got saved and never drank another drop. My life turned and changed. And God's been good to me all these years. And I'm still excited about serving the Lord. So I'm excited about what we're doing here and about the future. And I'm glad I got some young guys coming up after me, too. Y'all know that or not. God's been giving me younger men, younger women, younger families to help serve the Lord around here. I basically do nothing now. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, really, I preach on Sunday, but honestly, I'm out there in the community all the time loving on people. So I think I'm doing my best job when I'm not here, but I'm out there. Amen? But and I think the message I'm going to give you today, I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at it. I was not always good at it. Okay? I got saved, always a Southerner. And when you're a Southerner, one good thing about being a Southerner, you can learn Southern hospitality, and you can learn a certain humbleness that not everybody gets. I'm not saying everybody gets it, but I'm just saying God gave me a head start on some things, letting me grow up in the house I grew up in. And but I became a Christian, went to college, the strictest college you could go to. Very strict. I mean, you had to wear... Girls had to wear dresses down below their knees all the time. No options. No shorts. No dating. Not where you held hands or kissed or nothing. They'd throw you out. No other Bible than the King James Bible. I still preach out the King James Bible. But guys, I'm not the same guy. I was very strict, very regimented. And you know, along with that strictness also comes this word. Judgmental. Yes or no, amen? Because if we right, that means you what? Wrong. Yeah. So, and I fought against some of that in my own conscience, in my own heart. And but the funny thing is, I still preach the King James Bible. Anything you see up on this screen. But the difference is, I've learned that, you know what, there's some other good Bibles people are reading out there too. Amen. Say, you know what I'm saying? And that ain't the problem. Translation ain't the problem. The problem is you don't read it and I don't read it. That's the problem. Amen. Say. But we can brag about I got this one. And you a do-nothing, whatever. So the thing is, this message is, why am I here? It's something that God has been working on me with. Honestly, He's worked more on me in the last 10 years and certainly in the last 5 years than He did my whole life on this particular subject. And now it's something that we're known for at this church, and it's something I'm known for. So here's the question. Does Fellowship Church and do you exist at this church to scare people? Church is scary to people. How many, honestly, can we just take some polls right quick? How many would say the first time you ever came to Fellowship Church, you were a little scared? Anybody want to raise a hand? You were a little scared. A few of you kind of look over this way, a little bit scared, a little bit scared. Anybody scared to come here? A little bit scared. How many when you got here, I scared you? Shut up. No, I'm saying church can be intimidating. Is that true? It can be intimidating. I don't have anything to wear. What will they think of me? I'm going to be judged. They're going to take all of my money. I didn't have to tell you the answer. They think they're better than me. This is what they think. This is what the world says about us and about almost every church. And so the question is, are we here to scare people or are we here to love people? Okay? Did you know there are churches in our area, one in particular, that believes that people should be scared of them? They promote that. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe, ain't it? Yeah. Yeah, I heard him preaching one time, and I was riding to Carolina. When he said it, I nearly veered off into a ditch. We're not here to scare people. We're here to love people. I'm not better than you. Guess what? You're not better than me. I'm not above you. Guess who ain't above me? You ain't. The ground's level when you're a sinner. You know, when you got problems and you screwed up and you can't get to heaven on your own, all of a sudden we all got down on the same ground, didn't we? So why am I here? Why do we exist? But why are you and me here? The primary function of the body of Christ, that's what the church is called. We're called the body of Christ. The primary function of the body of Christ, said out loud, is to what? And you would think that would be a no-brainer. It's something churches can say, but it's not something that a lot of churches do. Okay? And I don't want to be a slick church. I mean, I don't mind trying things, and I guess, but for the most part, I think if you love people and you really make an effort, it cuts down on having to be too slick. Y'all hear me? Because love's a language most people what? Hey, most people understand it, don't they? And most people want it. Most people want it coming here. I'm good. I don't need any love. That would have been me. If I'd ever come here, I'd have been like, well, we just want to love you, man. I'd be like, I'm good. I don't need love. I'm good. But I won't. And so we really need to love. And you might say, Clark, you always talk about this. Well, go back on my messages about 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, and you'll find out I didn't talk about it. I've changed. I'm different. Yeah, I shouldn't tell you, should I? I am different. I've changed. What changed you, Gary? Hurt changed me. Hurt, being left, hurt me and changed me. Other pain in my life has changed me. Do you understand that or not? Your hurt has changed me. Your pain has hurt me. And love's the answer, man. That's why we're here. Did y'all hear me or not? But I want to talk to you. I'm not going to just say it. Here's what Paul did. I'm going to just give you a little quick rundown. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, don't go to sleep on me, chapter 12, Paul goes over a lot of gifts that are given to people in the church. Gifts, gifting, gifting, gifting. This one can do this. This one does that. This one does that. And he goes through the list. And they're pretty big things, man, okay? But then he says this. Say that with me right there at the end. Say that with me. But covet earnestly. Say it out loud. The what? Covet. Even though he gave that long list and he gave some examples, He said right at the end, but covet the what? And then he says this at the very end. Say this with me. And yet, help me, show I unto you. Say it out loud. A what? What does that sound like? It sounds like he's saying whatever I said in chapter 12. Not that it's bad, but it ain't the best. All these gifts that I told you about, it's not the best thing. So that leaves the question, well then what's the best thing? If you didn't tell us about it in chapter 12, what is it? And then we flip the page and we get 1 Corinthians chapter what? What's that known as? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as the what chapter? It's known as the love chapter. So that tells me I don't even have to be bright. It tells me all of this is good. I shouldn't build my life on this stuff in 12. I should build my life on what he's about to tell me in 13. And so that's what I'd like to talk to you about. Now, Jesus said it this way. We've been talking about this. Jesus said, say this scripture with me. It's important you memorize these. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt, say it with me, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the what? First and great commandment. The second's like it. Say that one with me. Thou shalt do what? So in the great command that Jesus gave and referenced, he says, love God, and he says, love people. And then he even says, you do it as you love yourself. And this last verse, say that with me. On these two commandments hang all the what? Now, did we learn that recently? Did we learn that with the Ten Commandments? The first four are about respecting and loving who? The last six are about respecting and loving who? And you can't forget yourself, because how can you love others when you don't know God loves you and that you love you? How can you do that? How can you care for other people when you don't care for you, man? And so we gave these messages. And so this is sort of a natural thing for me to now go into this subject today. Are we cool? It's not going to be much longer. I'm wore out. Y'all are lucky these days. You're going to like me more as I get older. I'm telling you. Here we go. So, all the gifts Paul says in chapter 12. You might say, Gary, why didn't you read them? I've read them before. I just want to focus on the one that's the best ever. I don't want you to get screwed up in your head. Got it? So, three reasons a church, a local body of believers, you and me, we don't function properly. What keeps us from loving? It's the best thing we should ever do. We could ever do. Does God's word say God is faith? Yes or no? No. Does it say God is hope? No. Does it say God is love? Why should I dedicate my life to love? Because that's who God is. Did God love you? Then should I love other people? If he loved me, should I love me? Sure. Makes common sense. God's all about love. Say that out loud. God's all about what? And some of you want to argue with me. Yeah, but what about this and what about that? I know you just by your argument. God is holy, 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 but you ain't. And you're not going to get holy by keeping a list of rules. You got a far better chance of getting holy by loving the Lord and loving people. And dedicating your life to love instead of dedicating your life to a list. How many would be honest with me and say, Pastor Gary, I at one time in my life, in my Christian life or in my church life, I did dedicate my life to a list. Can I see your hand? I had a list. I had a list. Is that all? That's all y'all did that? I dedicated my life to a list. This is a life of love. And this is the best thing you can do with your life. So why? CJ's back there running the camera. I mean, the PowerPoint. How you doing, CJ? Have you ever done this with me before? No. Can we thank the Lord for him already before I get mad at him? Roger's away today up in Ohio, but I imagine Roger's right there on the phone with them. Yeah, he's right there. He can cut us off from Ohio, I think. He's got that fancy network mess. But anyway, why does the church not love? Why are people scared of us? Because talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Now, what do you mean, Clark? Well, let's go to chapter 13. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have what? I am become a what? A sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal or a gong. Okay? Why do we not love? Why does the church not love? Because talk is cheap. Okay? It's easier to talk than it is to love. So much of church is just coming up and hearing a guy speak like me. That's not what makes us effective. What makes us effective is you and me out there loving people. I had a guy last week. He was from a Lutheran church. Are you here today, sir? Let's talk about him. Let's talk about him. You sure you're not here? I'm going to tell you a story real fast. A man saw me after the service last week. He said, I'm Lutheran. But he you could tell right away, he was a conservative, solid, I would call him a Bible-believing Lutheran. Solid. And he was trying to win his neighbor, trying to reach his neighbor, and trying to get his neighbor to go to church with him. The man I talked to last week. He said, and I would ask him, come go to church with us. And then he kept asking, wouldn't do it. So finally I asked him again, go to church with me, to my Lutheran church. And the guy said to him, no, I won't go with you to your church. He said, but I will go with you and try that big church in the middle of Rotunda. That was crazy. I've never heard somebody say that. So you mean the guy you're trying to get to go to church with you who don't go to church nowhere got you to go to church with him where he ain't been? And sure enough, they came. And you know what the Lutheran man told me? He was just beside himself after the service. It was like 12:30, quarter to one. I was still here. He was like, I just want to thank you. I've never seen anything like this place. This is his words, not mine. And this was a church man. I ain't never seen nothing like it. He said, y'all love me from the time I got out of my car all the way into the building. And then through the service, that's all I felt. And as I leave, and he, not the guy that didn't go to church, the man that went to church. Boy, you know how good that made me feel? And I know we don't get it all right all the time, but that's the answer I want to hear out of people. You loved me all the way from my car into this room. Y'all hear me or not? Say. Come on, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Talk is cheap. When we started the church, we love Jesus, we love people. I'm the one that came up with that. Didn't he know what I was talking about? Yes, the great command Jesus said, love the Lord, love people. But I didn't know it. It was in the Bible. I thought I was doing it. I wasn't doing it. Because talk is cheap. You understand or not? You treat your wife like dirt. But you tell her you love her when you go to bed and want a little good night kiss. You're pathetic. Because talk is cheap. Y'all hear me or not? Say. Wife, same with you. Nag. Nitpick. Night, night, I love you. Because talk is cheap, isn't it? Yes or no, amen? This will change your life. It'll change your marriage. We need to love. It needs to be more than talk. Amen. That's why Paul said this is the greatest We're to love. Let's keep looking. What you say with your mouth to men, women, boys, and girls matters most. Church can be the meanest place for a lot of people. Somebody will read them a riot act. Years ago, Alexander Christie, right here, and his wife Donna today. I remember at our former church, their kids came to that church and to that Christian school. I hate to be ugly, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And they brought friends. And their friends wore skirts that wasn't as long as they're supposed to be. And somebody went to these new people and told them how they need to be dressing. Is that loving or not? Yes or no? Well, it's loving. I'm trying to get them to do the right thing. How about you just shut up? Isn't it great to have some young people that wanted to go to church for crying out loud? They might learn about Jesus Christ, but they got to climb over your tail. I'm the only guy that can talk about love and be ugly. Come on. How many have done it? How many have done just what that you've judged somebody or you've said something and later you realize you were an idiot? Can I see some hands? I did it, man. Stupid I was. Talk is cheap. I do it with Kim. Get brooding in a mood. And she can read me like a book. And then later, I love you. It'd have been better. Who said, mm-hmm? Shut up. It's something we can work on, ain't it? Instead of worrying about speaking in tongues, how about learn how to speak right with the tongue God already gave you? Amen. Say. Come on. All right. Y'all are with me. I like this crowd. Jake, are you learning anything? Are you married? You owe me for this. Talk is cheap, buddy. I believe you will. I don't think it'll be a problem. You call me later. You're having lunch with me this week? Let's you and me have lunch. Jake. Okay, here we go. Religious speak is cheap. Religious speak is cheap. What does that mean? Church talk. It's not real. Well, God bless you. Amen. Yeah, I mean, I like to say God bless. I like to say amen. But people need to hear real. Is that correct? Yes or no? People that aren't here aren't going to understand your whatever, catechism or whatever. Okay? Religious speak often is not caring. You know one thing that Elon Musk said the other day? And I'm not a follower of Elon Musk, everything he does in his life. But I'm all for a man that can go to Washington and try to cut out crap and save us money. I don't know where you're at. I like it. We've been begging for people to do this for 50 years or whatever. Yes or no, amen. But you know why he says it doesn't get done? He said because people aren't competent and people don't care. I could say the same thing about the church. Why is the church failing? Because it's not competent and people don't care. We need to be competent when we are. What does that mean? I need to be taking care of me. I need to be living out Christ in my life. And I need to care for people. Amen or oh me. Amen. And that's what we have here. We're not by any means perfect. We can do better. That's why I'm preaching the message. Amen. Religious speak doesn't go the extra mile. That's what love does. Religious speak doesn't make the extra effort, but love does. Yes or no, amen. Why am I here? I'm here to love. Why don't I do it then? Why doesn't a church do it? Why do we fail at it? This was Paul talking. Scripture. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, sit with me, and I don't have what? I'm what? Oh, did you hear Pastor Clark? He's just amazing. Understands the Bible. Whatever. I'd much rather you say, I walked away with something. And I became better because of that man's talking. But it wasn't just the man's talking. It was the way the man talked to me. Y'all hear me or not? I'm not the greatest speaker. I'm not the smartest guy by a long shot. But I'd go toe-to-toe with some of them on loving people. I'm talking about real love. I'm not talking about syrupy, drippy, crappy love. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about loving when sometimes you got to be a little rough with people. But you can do it in a loving way. What I mean rough, getting down in the mud with them. Instead of saying, you in the mud, look at you, muddy man. But get down in the mud, start talking to them. You in the mud because you in the mud because you did what you did in the mud. Now, come on, let's get out of the mud. And I'm going to get dirty helping you. Amen. I want to be that kind of guy. But knowledge and wisdom is to be what? And we're to share it in what? Love. Knowledge and wisdom meant to be stored up. I read this book. I read that book. I read this book. And you're just as smart as a whip, but you don't love worth a dang. Got it or not? What's all that knowledge? Quoting Bible verses, trying to impress me. I want you to learn the Bible, but I'd like you to be active in your life, coming out in love. Amen. Listen, wisdom meant to be what? How many feel like this message, I'm shoving it down your throat? Good, I am. Yeah. Also, knowledge and wisdom in our churches, it shouldn't be stoical. That's a word I'm using. I don't want to be in a church without emotion. Hello? Right, Sherry? I don't want to be in a church where there's none. Why do I raise my voice? Why do I get, because I want to show who I am. I want to shake you. I got young Jacoby that's sort of shadowing me. He's doing a good job, by the way, the young man I'm mentoring. Got saved right here. He's 21. He's away today. But I tell him, I can walk with him. He can learn things. But I can't put the passion in him. I can't. And when I tell him that, I say, Jacob, I can't put the passion in you, son. He's starting to get mad at me. I don't like it when you say that. Well, I can't. Now he's saying this. I believe I got it, Pastor. We'll see. Amen. Come on. Good stuff, man. I want to be, love shouldn't just be about information. It needs to have some emotion behind it. Yes or no? Amen or oh me? Should people know you love them? Yes or no? Should people feel that you love them? Should your wife feel that? Your husband feel that? People at your job place should feel that. Your clients should feel that. Whether you make the sale or not, they should know. Man, really, I really like the way they made me feel. They made me feel like I matter, I have value, and that I was loved. Amen. Is that bad, John? You're a businessman many years. Is that a good way to do business? Even if you don't get to sell. Amen. I'm wearing y'all out, ain't I? So we're to speak to people how? With love. We're speak to them how? How? With genuineness. How many can read a phony a mile away? How many feel like you got that gift from God? You got a little bit of it. I know you. Don't know you as well, but you think you got it. I struggle with being phony at times. You have my job, you'll struggle with being phony. That's why I just let it all hang out. Amen? Sometimes too much, right? Come on. What's the third reason that we don't love as a church, or that we don't love in our marriage, or we don't love individually? And this is the greatest thing we can do is love. Last one. Say that with me. Dead what? Look at this next verse. Though I bestow all my goods, Paul says, to feed the poor, and though I even give my body to be burned, and I ain't seen nobody doing that lately, and I don't have love, it profits me what? So why don't I love? Well, I don't love because talk is cheap. I choose to talk instead of the real deal. I don't love because, I think I'm smarter than people. I know the Bible, I know stuff, and I'm good. And somehow I've convinced myself I don't need to love. And I'm a phony. Why don't we love? Because of dead sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, it means we can give, but we can give without love. How many ever got a gift from somebody? You know that somebody was a pain in the rear end. They had done you wrong. They knew they were wrong. They weren't changing, but it's your birthday or Christmas, so they give you a gift. How many have ever got a gift like that and thrown it straight in the trash can? Anybody want to raise some hands? Straight in the trash can. How many got one from somebody that so-called loved you and treated you like dirt? Anybody like that? Threw it right in the trash can. They got both hands up yonder. Cause a dead sacrifice. Giving, say that with me. Giving, say that out loud, without is and. That's why at Fellowship I have tried to teach you and tried to encourage you on Sundays, let's give cheerfully. Because when you come to church and you just give your money, honest to goodness, the world thinks we're nuts. Why are we giving when you live in the way you live? Why are you giving when you're treating us the way you treat us? You know, giving without love is cruel. I mean, to give somebody a dozen roses that you've cursed out and you've made feel like they're dirty and nasty, but you're going to give them a dozen roses to make it all better. Does that sound cruel? Would they be better off to keep their roses or to do something else with their roses? And tell me you're sorry. Treat me like I matter. It's just dead sacrifice. Y'all hear me today? Jake? Watch the flower giving. Let's do a quick poll. How many women say, even if they were mean to me, I'll take the flowers? A few of you like flowers that much. You like them that much. Amen. Sacrifice without sincerity is what? We can give to a building over here, like we did this one. But if they come here and there's no love, then the sacrifice we made was dead. We clear on all that today? Appreciate y'all listening. I'm almost done. It does nothing for you of lasting significance or me. People matter more than stuff. Say that out loud. People matter more than stuff. How many of you have ever gotten a big fight because somebody screwed with your stuff? Meets big time. Do people matter more than my stuff? But should people leave my stuff alone? Now, that's another story. Come on, here we go. We're almost done. So we're done today almost. Why am I here? Why are we here? Why do we exist? Say it out loud. The primary function of Fellowship Church is? I'm not ashamed of it. Did you know I've been criticized? We have you with me because I focus here a lot on love. Can you believe somebody criticizes us for that? That's how stupid they are. Love never fails. Amen. I ain't seen a marriage yet that couldn't use a little more love. I can't see a church yet that couldn't use some more love. Amen. Come on. Good stuff, man. Here's what it looks like if we do this properly and effectively. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to do it fast. We ain't got all day. I'm wore out. Here we go. I'm going to read it with you, and I'm going to say these with you over here. I'm just going to point them out to you. So what does this look like? What does it look like? And some of you have heard me do this before. Good. I'm trying to bang it in your head. What does it look like? Why am I here? I'm here to love. Well, what does that look like, Pastor? What does it look like in my life? What should it look like? Here we go. Love suffers long. Pop it up. Click it. So we as a church are to be what? But I as an individual am to be long-suffering. Do we know what that means? It means to hurt pretty bad for a while. It's okay. And is what? So we're to be what? We are kind. Did you know the number one, when they poll marriages after 10 years, the number one thing in marriage, the best thing about my marriage partner is this. Sex is not there. Sorry. You know what the number one answer is? I love my husband. I love my wife because they are kind. Number one. Well, isn't that funny? God knew that a long time ago. Love envies not. We're happy for other people's successes. That's what love looks like. Instead of being selfish, number 10, remember 10? Don't covet Michael Jordan's basketball. Be happy for those people. Be thankful for what you got. These all build on one another, by the way. The Ten Commandments ain't something else. It's all similar. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. We're not proud. We're big on who? Love is big on God. It's what love looks like. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Fellowship Church, we're to be a blessing to the Lord. That's what love looks like. It's a blessing. I went to fellowship and it was a what? Had a man and his wife tell me this week, come just this morning out here in the first service, before we even started, came up to me, told me how much they enjoy being here and how it's changed their life. That's hard for me to hear sometimes. It's so overwhelming. You know what I mean? And then I had another couple do the same thing, too, just out there before church ever started. That's what we want to be. Amen. Got it? Yes or no? I'm not trying to brag, but I can't put us down and when I know there's good things going on. Amen. Keep it up, man. Keep it up. Seeks not her own. We seek to please the Lord. That's what love does. It's not easily provoked. What's that mean? We're controlled by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Here's a simple definition. Let God's love flow through you. Say that out loud. Let God's love flow through you. That is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. When I allow God's love to flow through me, I'm going to watch my actions, watch my mouth, and a lot of other things is going to get straight. Because love is the greatest. I thought being controlled by the Holy Spirit was flopping it. No, listen to me. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit is allowing God's love to flow through you. You hear me? Thinks no evil. Say that. We at Fellowship Church, we need to be what? Love is positive. If you're always negative, that's a good sign that you are not loving the way God wants you to. That's just the way I am. I'm just a negative person. Go ahead and fill in the blank. You're also just an unloving person. And you might say, but I can't change. I'm not asking you to change without His help. Let God's love flow through you. But it's going to start by saying you're wrong. Say, I'm wrong. Can we say it out loud? I am. One more time. I am. Okay. You can't say that? We'll say it for you. Say. Here we go. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. We rejoice in good things, in godly things. We rejoice in truth. This is what love does, guys. In case you're wondering what a church looks like that's full of God's love, this is exactly what it looks like. But what does a Christian look like? It looks just like that. Bears all things. When I have love flowing through me, we're over what? So what bad happened? We can make it. You and me can make it. How we gonna make it? We don't have a job no more. We don't have a house no more. You and me can make it because we love each other. Mama died. Daddy died. I can't make it. You can make it. Why? Because you got me. And I got you. And we got love because we got him. What happened to that? Love never fails, man. Good stuff. I love this. I used to never preach like this. You may like the old me better. I don't give a hoot. Endures all things. We are, and believes all things. I'm sorry. Bears all things, believes all things. So we're believers, man. We believe in love. We believe in God's love, right? Which means we believe in forgiveness. We believe in restoration. We believe you can stop drinking. We believe you can get off drugs. And we're here to help you, not to point out how bad you are. We're here to help you out, man. It's good stuff. Hopes all things. We're hopeful. Love is hopeful. Who wants to be married to somebody who ain't got no hope, who doesn't believe nothing? Who, I'm just saying, it makes it hard. Who wants a church like that? I love this one right here. Say that last one. Endures all things. We're courageous and we never lose heart. That's what love does. You hear me? Because love ain't easy. How many have been in a situation where it was real hard to love? Real hard. And Mrs. Manns, it was real hard. Can anybody just with a raised hand say, but Gary, even though I'm weak, God helped me. And it proved out to be a positive thing. It really did. It really did work out. It worked out. Amen. I got to quit. Let's say them together and we're done. I'm wore out, guys. Let's do it. Here we go. Would you say them out loud with me? The people of Fellowship Church, this is also for you as a believer in Christ individually. Would you say it out loud? This is what love looks like. Would you tell me what love looks like? Here we go. We are. We are. We are. We are. Big on God. We are a blessing to the Lord. We seek to please the Lord. Keep going. We are. Stop right there. What does that mean? Allowing God's love to come up and flow through you. Don't forget that. We are. We rejoice in good and godly things. We rejoice in these last three loud. We are what? We are what? And we are what? We're done. Let's thank the Lord. Boom. Praise the Lord.